This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world. You're listening to Place to Be Nation's Main Event, a roundtable experience looking at today's pro wrestling landscape. And now, here's your host, Scott Criscolo.
Place to Be Nation! No, we have not been canceled by Destination America. No, we are not on an on-demand where you can't read any of the language that's on it. And no, we were not shoved to the CW. We're going to freak a lot of fucking people out tonight because the questions asked about it by numerous people. And then we'll give ambiguous answers. It's the greatest form of trolling in the history of the wrestling and the internet. Welcome, everyone, to your home for everything modern-day wrestling. Indeed, it is Place to Be Nation's Main Event. I'm your host, Scott Criscolo. And we are back after semi-decent size hiatus. You know what it's called? And a lot of people, you know, asking, and then they put question marks when you answer them. There's really one major reason, and the gentleman on this program would understand that. It's called life. Just happens. Keeps going, and things get in the way. You give that answer to some people, and they give you a question mark back. Like, life? What do you mean, like you do things? Yeah, kind of do. Work, you know, roof, food, that kind of thing. But we have returned, and we're going to kick ass tonight. An abbreviated show. We're starting a little later than normal, but we're still going to have plenty of fun. And I can only have fun with these three gentlemen, so let me bring them in. He is the author of your weekly walk around the web. One of my favorite people. Mr. Glenn Butler.
Just in time for Halloween as well.
You know, anybody who hasn't listened to the Halloween special yet, I'm lucky I'm talking to anybody. But Glenn, I would never stop talking to. Good to have you on, man. This guy goes 50-50, but a lot of people stop talking about him after a while, and to him, Mr. Jordan Duncan.
You know, you said we were going to troll people, and I thought for sure I'd be the first one introduced with that. Like, come on, that's like my favorite thing to do online, Scott.
That is true. That is true, JD. Good to have you back.
Thanks.
And a guy who was very busy in the Big Apple a couple weeks ago, and the clock is ticking on his company, or I guess a portion of his company's biggest endeavor ever on Friday, December 18th. Ladies and gentlemen, my favorite person on the planet and the purveyor of not only a contributor to PlaceMeNation.com, but also the purveyor of Marvel.com. Yes, indeed. There's been more.
The purveyor of Destination America as well. I just got the call while you were doing the
introduction. You could do that on your lunch hour. That's much work off as it takes.
One on a scratch-off ticket.
Yes. $1 million or programming, 3 hours of programming a day. That doesn't involve shooting deer.
Yeah. All right. So yeah, I'll be programming that on my next lunch break, like Jordan said.
We could program it tonight. It would only take 45 minutes.
Tweet me your suggestions.
Yes. At help me. Yeah. Hashtag no one's watching. Okay. Guys, it is good to get back together again. It's been a few weeks. Got interesting some new activities this evening that I'd like to put forth to you. Of course, one new little wrinkle in the Main Event format that I debuted on our last episode quite a few weeks ago, is my roundtable gets 2 unfiltered minutes. No, not Renee Young's unfiltered minutes, but 2 unfiltered minutes about anything they wanted to talk about in the world of wrestling, and they will get those 2 minutes at the end of the program. Then we're going to talk about something else. I'm going to kind of throw a speaking of programs, pretty good segue there, Benjamin. We're going to talk about the network, and I have a question I want to put forth, programming questions, some creativity with the guys tonight. But we'll get into that later. First
Jordan's
off, let's
out.
What?
Jordan's out.
Yeah, he's done. Table for 3: Demon Kane, Corporate Kane, and Jordan Duncan. But the camera angle will be Daniel Bryan banging on the window, not being able to get in because he's not old enough to drink. So Let us dive in.
Be a good episode, actually.
Tragedy.
They should do that, just like green screen and have Kane talking to him.
You should just sit. You should sit there like Dean Ambrose does, and just eat the food with your hands, and it would be just, as good.
It should be like 20 minutes of that promo where Mankind and Cactus Jack and
that's right.
do love.
Yes. All right. Before we get into the fun stuff, though, let's talk about. Well, everything's fun here in the main event. Let's talk about what happened this past Sunday. Hell in a Cell, which took place live from the Staples Center in Los Angeles. I did an experiment, guys, and I think we've talked about this even in our chats, you know, our private chats and on past main events. And I decided the night after Night of Champions that I was going to do this. We've talked about how Raw has been, you know, over the past several months. So I decided to intentionally not watch a minute of Raw between Night of Champions and Hell in a Cell and see if it mattered. When I watched the pay-per-view. We talked about that a few times with various guests, you guys and others, about, you know, can a pay-per-view be watched as a standalone? Do we even have to watch Raw or SmackDown at this point? Which is kind of frightening.
Right.
For WWE purposes. So I didn't watch anything. I didn't watch it live. I didn't watch the cutdowns on Hulu. I didn't watch anything. No Raws, no SmackDowns, nothing between the night after Night of Champions and Hell in a Cell. And you know what? Didn't matter. It honestly didn't matter. First off, let's do some general observations. JD, one or two observations about the show in general.
I'll give you a negative one since I know that's what you guys are expecting.
What
from
a shock.
Live I think the gimmick, brother.
I think the Dudleys have already run their course. That's something that stuck out to me. You know, and they haven't even been back that long, but I feel like they're already pretty ancient. I don't know if anybody else feels that way. On the opposite side of that, I think the New Day just gets better and better and better, even without Xavier Woods. What else? I thought the Del Rio thing was a pretty nice surprise. If you're just going for a pure surprise, was a pretty awesome one. I mean, I don't know anybody. I mean, I know people afterwards who said they heard about it, but I didn't hear anything about it. So
I didn't either.
Pretty fun little surprise there. So, and the main event was awesome.
I concur. Benjamin, observations.
Oh, man. I could literally just go disagreeing with Jordan on that. You know what? Let's go for that. no, not totally disagreeing. I was thinking about the Dudleys a lot when I was thinking about this because Jordan's opinion seems to be the prevailing one that they've already kind of run their course. I disagree if they continue to be used the way they're being used, and that's to put the younger teams over. I think they need to get away from New Day because they've already had three matches with them, but I don't think the Dudleys need to be put out to pasture. I think they just need to get out of the title picture, have some feuds with guys like the Usos, or if they want to put over, you know, an NXT team or something like that. I do think they still have their uses. I mean, they're still in shape. They can still work, that horrendous botch aside. From Sunday, but I think they've got their role. Whereas on the flip side, Del Rio, I was very excited to see him. And it's a weird thing because I was never a Del Rio guy. I think I even back before he left WWE on the main event, said it a couple times. I don't get him.
Yeah.
I think my biggest problem with him has always been that he wrestles better as a babyface, but his character is such a heel. And for me, that means one part of the thing's never going to be working. I think that's probably why he works so well in Mexico, where he can play babyface without question. Mm-hmm. And I didn't see any of his ROH or Lucha Underground stuff, but I had heard how good he'd gotten. So I was excited to see him come back. And then, you know, he looked good. He looked in shape, but it was the same old Alberto Del Rio to me. And then again, the next night on Raw, it's just, you know, kind of the stilted heel promo. I like his work in the ring, but the problem is, again, I think he wrestles like a babyface and he's supposed to be a heel. So Del Rio was kind of split for me. And then I want to give a little love to the other Hell in a Cell match. I really liked the Reigns-Wyatt match. And I think I might talk a little bit more about Reigns later in the show, but I liked that. And I was a fan of the Divas title match as well. Big shock. Although I think Nikki carried the match, whereas Charlotte is kind of becoming exposed for maybe having been helped out a little in NXT by working with the likes of Natalya and Sasha Banks more so than her natural skill. Not to say she isn't good, but I'm not sure she's as good as advertised.
Okay. Glenn?
Well, as to your TV experiment, I've been there for almost a year now. And it's a much better experience just seeing the pay-per-views, because people talk about, you know, the big matches happening every week on Raw and everything gets exposed. Well, not for me.
Yeah, I agree.
Unless they repeat it a bunch of times on pay-per-view, like the New Day and the Dudleys, which by now is getting a little tired. I agree that they should transition out of the title picture and, you know, match up with some other teams, put over some younger guys, maybe.
If you get three matches, that's 3 in 3 months instead of 3 in a week, you know?
Yeah, true, exactly. I'm not seeing, like, their confrontations on Raw every week or whatever, except I do usually watch the week's episode of Raw when I know I'm going to be on the main event, and this was a good week for it, because this week's Raw was actually pretty good.
Yeah, same here.
I mean, it was you know, enough content for, you know, about a month of TV, but as a watching experience, it was actually pretty good. The Hell in a Cell show really displayed for me the different impressions you get depending on who you're watching a show with. Because on Sunday, as the show was happening, I got home right at the beginning of it, and I was watching it with my brother, who isn't a big fan of a lot of the guys, and was kind of tired, was getting zonked out during the show anyway. And so I was left with kind of a dour impression of most of it. And then on Tuesday, I watched most of it again with my boyfriend, who is like the world's biggest Bray Wyatt fan. And he was asking me before we started, you know, how the match was. And I said, well, I was Anna, but you're going to love it. And he lapped that match up like a thirsty man with water. He loved it, and watching it with him, it got a little more energy and was left with a better impression of the show overall. So that angle on it was kind of interesting to me. I appreciated how they had the two cell matches and went out of their way to make them different. With the Reigns Wyatt match having all the weapons. And then in the main event, when they brought out the chair, I started to think, you know, no, don't do all the weapons again, but they kept it pretty focused. You know, that one chair, the one set of stairs, and like the undercarriage of the ring, really the only weapons really in that match. So it was different. It had kind of a different emphasis, and I thought that was badly needed if you're going to have two cell matches in the same night.
So many questions about Glenn's romantic life now that I know his boyfriend's a big Bray Wyatt fan. So many pictures forming.
Well, I can tell you home, and it's just a Bray Wyatt promo.
Yeah. he actually would. It was our 6-month anniversary the other day. I got him a Bray Wyatt shirt. He loves it.
Follow the buzzards.
Yeah, it's definitely quite an experience for sure.
let's talk about Bray and Roman. I think there was a lot of skepticism going into that match for obvious reasons.
Yeah.
But I liked it a lot. And yeah. I've never hated Roman Reigns. Once again, I think he's been poorly – I don't want to say poorly trained, but I think sometimes he's thrown out to the wolves and other times he's protected, and I think a lot of times it's not – chosen properly. Like,
yeah, it's very inconsistent.
It's very inconsistent. One minute he's protected when he probably shouldn't be, and the next minute they throw him out to the wolves when he most certainly shouldn't be. As emphasized by those couple of promos a couple weeks ago. But there was something about that match I liked. It's very unique. Look, I don't envy Hell in a Cell participants when we're not allowed to have blood, except of course Taker and Brock, who pulled a Road Warriors to Vern and said fuck the blood rule. And good for them. They shouldn't have to follow any rules. It's Taker and Brock.
I really think that stuff about the blood rule is overblown. I think that's kind of PR stuff to, you know, I don't know about work the internet, but try to make it seem like cool that they're bucking this rule as opposed to like they allow it in isolated circumstances with isolated performers.
I I like that point. However, when in the history of any cage match or any match with blood do we have to have a guy run in and wipe it off their face? And I don't want anybody to tell me that it adds to the drama of the match. No, it didn't. No, it didn't. It's not the match, so the blood be wiped off their face.
I'm not necessarily going to say adding to the drama, but it was part of the story. You know, they wouldn't have had Brock tossing the guy off if it wasn't part of the story.
Maybe that was a shoot. It's Brock. You never know.
Yeah, right. Well, I don't know. They did completely miss it. So
yeah.
Either it was impromptu or Kevin Dunn just sucks, or both.
I definitely think Kevin Dunn sucks. It doesn't matter whether there's a reason or not. Go ahead, JD. You had something to say?
No, I was just giggling.
They're like, exposed him there. What were you saying, JD? Oh, no, you were just giggling.
Yeah.
Benjamin.
It's like everyone saying Kevin Dunn sucks. That's all.
Well, he does. Benjamin, what do you think about this whole theory about the blood? And I just thought them going out and having to wipe their feet. Well, we'll get to that match later. overall, Brock, Roman and Wyatt, I feel bad for those like your boy Glenn who is a Wyatt fan, because I feel like he's getting relentlessly shit on because it's like now suddenly he's become the kiss of death feud, which kind of sucks. Not really his fault.
Also, eventually he is going to have to face someone he can actually beat, right?
Yeah.
Well, I think he'll beat Taker. We'll get to that feud. We'll get to that in a minute. But because I have a theory about November 22nd in Jay Hinchey's backyard. What do you think, Ben, about the way that the match was laid out? Because, again, without being able to really – look, if Taker and Brock have liberties, these guys did not have any liberties.
No.
They wrestled the match like they would a regular match. But there was something about the way they used the scenery. Hear me out here. The scenery of the match where the cage was there, the cell was there, but without really using it, it still seemed very daunting. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, I know exactly what you mean. I think the word I would look for in describing the Bray-Roman Hell in a Cell match is intensity.
Mm-hmm.
Everything they did felt ratcheted up, and that's from punches to clotheslines to kicks. But yeah, just the way that even if they – Here's a perfect illustration. Even if they weren't necessarily, you know, climbing around the cell, Roman, the way he maneuvered around, the way he was doing, you know, his kicks when he does that like jumping drop kick on the apron, he was, you know, running around the cell. So you were aware that they were encased. Mm-hmm. And also, I mean, the Hell in a Cell for storyline purposes in this can just be, you know, it's keeping the Wyatts out. It doesn't have to be like, you know, these guys are using it to grate each other up like hamburger. It can just be, all right, this is an opportunity for them to have a one-on-one match. And I think they had a great one-on-one match. And the thing I want to say about Reigns is basically two things. One, he can't do the kind of promos they want him to do. That's becoming obvious. He cannot do John Cena promos. So stop trying to make him do John Cena promos. Mm-hmm. We know he can talk. He just can't talk in the way they want him to. Mm-hmm. We know that when he was in the Shield, he gets off his one or two lines. He looks cool. He's fine. But the thing about his work in the ring is at this point, I think we have to stop being surprised when Roman Reigns has good matches. I mean, how many months ago was it that he and Big Show had a great last man standing match? Mm-hmm. We were all like, oh my God, I can't believe Roman Reigns had this great match. And then you got Bray, who I think is a better worker than he was a year ago. But at the same time, we've said on this show before how he's not exactly, you know, he does need to be carried to some degree. But Roman goes in there and has a good match with him. I think we're at the point where we just have to admit that, you know, Roman Reigns is a pretty solid worker. He's a solid worker who can't deliver promos like John Cena. So I'll get more into it. But you know, there are ways for him to work. I'm very interested by the reaction that I feel is almost internet backlash because he was booked poorly for a few months and is intermittently booked poorly and does lousy promos, that when he has a good match, we're all shocked.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's time to stop being shocked and just give the guy his due.
Right. Incidentally, let me go around if you guys aren't looking. Which match do you think got the most time?
Was it Roman Bray?
It was indeed Roman Bray.
That's what I thought.
Roman and Bray got 23 minutes and 8 seconds.
Oh, wow.
Okay, number one. Followed by Brock and Taker, 1807. Seth Kane, 1436.
That felt longer.
Yeah. The pre-show match, the six-man got 1138. Just want to throw it out there, even though it technically doesn't count. Nikki and Charlotte got 1039. New Day, yeah. Dudley's, 826.
Kevin Owens was just like 4 or 5 minutes, I know.
Del Rio, Cena, 746, and Owens, Ryback, 535. And before JD goes on some type of conspiracy thing, that was probably fine to be 5.5 minutes. I don't think he needed it. I don't think we really want it to be any longer.
Think Ryback should be in 10-minute matches.
No, he should barely be in 5-minute matches. But
I don't know that he should be in matches, but that's me.
at least KO won. That's all that matters. And I did at my friend Mike's house. I did debut because I did buy it when they did the buy one get one free, deal last week. I did get the KO commemorative Montreal t-shirt because it's just so badass. I don't know if I could wear it to TLC in December because being a Bruins fan, I think it'd be almost heretical to walk into the garden. Into the hub of with a Canadiens color jersey, a t-shirt on, and I'm a Bruins fan, so I might have to wear it. Yeah.
About that Intercontinental title match,
yeah.
I think that was the one match that had flexible time.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they just gave that as much time as was left before that main event slot.
Right.
So maybe some other things went long, maybe there was a little too much padding, whatever, but I think that was the one that they could use to buffer everything else. And it's just, and it's like we said, it's just as well that it did get less time. And not only did Owens win, it's the first time, at least on pay-per-view, I don't know about on Raw, that he pinned Ryback with his finisher. The other one was a roll-up.
Right.
So,
yep.
To play
devil's advocate real quick, I think a lot of people are seeing it as like, oh, this is, you know, they're shitting on Kevin Owens by only giving him 5 minutes and by putting him in the death spot. On the contrary, I think that's showing a vote of confidence for Kevin Owens, saying, we know we can put you in this spot that used to be reserved for like Alicia Fox matches, and you're still going to keep the crowd up for something like Brock Taker. That's just my opinion.
Yeah. Plus, depending on how much you think they're buying into, you know, however much more respect they want the women's division to have, mm-hmm. you can't just plug that into the death slot anymore.
No.
So maybe it's time to figure out some way of structuring your show so that it doesn't have a death slot.
Let's ask that. Is there a death slot anymore?
I think they've been bringing it back recently, oddly enough.
I think the Kane match is usually the death slot.
Okay.
It's funny though, Scott. No, just to finish off, I was in cheap plug here in anticipation of the next episode of the Place to Be podcast. I was just watching Judgment Day today, and I noticed how they stacked the main events at the end. There was no death slot.
Right.
It went straight from Eddie Ray into JBL Cena, and I liked that. And I wish they'd get back to doing that.
Uh huh.
I think it's a much better formatting than I think this match had the death slot. Owens had it back at SummerSlam when him and Cesaro had to go out in between the big matches.
That match was great.
Yeah. Yeah, it was a great match, but, you know, I don't think they necessarily need a death slot. I think, you know, you build from the smaller matches to the bigger matches and just put the two biggest ones at the end.
Yeah, it's basically a self-made thing.
Exactly.
Right? You know.
Yeah, to a large extent. Also, even if you want to have a slot during the show when people can, you know, go buy t-shirts or hit the bathroom or whatever before the main event, make that, you know, a bunch of promos skits or whatever, not, you know, a match that you put in there deliberately to be less emphasized.
Or just do video packages. They have a million of them throughout anyways. Just, you know, stack them there.
Yeah.
Yep.
The Rollins-Kane match was not awful. The Rollins-Kane match just didn't have a pay-per-view feel. It felt like a match on Raw. Just didn't have pay-per-view sparkle to it or shine. It just felt like the main event of a Raw. When you get that feeling when you're watching a pay-per-view match, you probably shouldn't have booked it. So I will support your claim, JD. I don't think but again, my point is the match itself was not terrible. It was not a terrible match like, oh my God, this is like Diesel Mabel from SummerSlam 95. No, not that bad.
Seth Rollins is not going to have that bad a match.
No, he doesn't. And Kane, when you really need him to, is not going to lay a stinker. I agree. You may think I'm nuts in saying that, but I really do think that. But this just didn't have that sparkle It was just, it was a title match. Yeah, third from the top, so they pretty much realized it themselves, right. And it still had that, you know, maybe give that 10 minutes and add, you know, maybe give that, you know, 10 minutes and give Owens 10 minutes. You could have taken 5 minutes off that match.
The one thing I liked about it, and the one thing I'll give it credit for, and it probably should have happened sooner instead of dragging this storyline out for months, was it was a nice, clean, or at least heel clean win for Rollins, a nice mm-hmm. title defense, which he hasn't had enough of, just, you know, things to build up his reign at this point.
Precisely.
You know, he's just had a weak championship reign. He needed more of this.
I either read somewhere or heard on another show that since like June or May, he's like 3-20 in televised matches. That's pretty bad.
3-20 in what?
In matches on television.
Oh. Yep. And he still has the belt?
Yep.
Interesting. Yep.
You say since May or June, so
I don't know exactly when.
So conveniently after the Ambrose feud, which was great.
I don't know. I don't know when it started.
I mean, it makes sense.
Sure. Okay.
Yeah.
It makes sense.
Yeah.
I mean, the match with Brock at Battleground was.
But he also lost matches in the Ambrose feud too. I mean, he lost the one by DQ. So
it's true.
You know.
Yeah. He did.
Well, DQ, but still.
Yeah. All right. So there is Hell in a Cell. So we now look ahead to Sunday, November 22nd, from the Phillips Arena in Hotlanta, Georgia. We know Mr. Hinchy will be there. I don't know if Chad Lee's going. I haven't talked to him. I don't know if he is or not.
He's going
to
be on Taker's team.
He is. Let's talk about that.
I believe there's an NSYNC concert that night.
NSYNC.
Which I really shouldn't be the one saying.
And then the Young Bucks will come out.
I'm totally going to as well.
And then the Young Bucks will come out and Jay Hinch will leave. No, I'm just kidding. Sorry, Hinch. He'll listen to this and go nuts that we've mentioned his name like 5 times.
It's just you, actually.
It is just me.
I've mentioned
it 5 times. Because if anybody else does, it may not. Not never mind. It's
laying the seeds for a
season. Yeah.
in the spring.
Yeah, lay the seeds in the spring. What do you think they're going to do? I mean, obviously, they're promoting 25 years of the Dead Man, as he made his debut right here in my backyard in Hartford Civic Center in 1990. You think they'll bring back Ted DiBiase's team? That would be pretty awesome. Can they redo that match? Or how many of those guys are dead? Probably half.
They're all still alive. Holy crap.
I thought Ben said they're all dead.
No.
Dusty.
Well, you know, out of the managers Undertaker's had over the years, Brother Love is the one who's still around. So
that is true.
You know, there's always him,
Mr. Fuji. Technically, when he was his manager for like 2 house shows, I think, or something.
Oh, geez, really?
Yeah. Yep.
Didn't know that.
Right before. Wow,
just imagining that one.
Yeah, Fuji was
the power of the cane.
Yes. My Undertaker. I mean, I wonder how cool that would be. I mean, it would be neat if they did. I mean, I'm sure they'll do like the vignettes like they do, you know, Taker's greatest moments, you know, in Survivor Series, and they'll go back to every casket match with every talentless slug.
No matter what, The Undertaker should come out for, you know, it's probably going to be his Survivor Series match at the Survivor Series. Imagine that. With a big gray tie and purple gloves and the t-shirt with the sawtooth arms.
Yep. Hell yeah. Yep.
Dark purple under his eyes.
Old school. I'm telling you. I agree with you 100%. And if you really, and you know, we laugh, but if we, you know us, we're like junkies for this old school shit. Why not come out with Brother Love? That'd be kind of neat, actually.
Yeah.
It would be kind of cool.
Sure. Why not?
And it's Bruce Pritchard. He's got to get his fat ass and everything. So, I think that this show will be, I mean, we really can't talk much about it now because they really haven't booked anything official, although we do know that Roman Reigns is the number one contender right now. We can get more into that on the next show.
You know, I think they have a chance to really go old school Survivor Series with this show because they got a lot of trios right now, and you just throw another guy in each team. I think I dig that, man. You throw your title match on there and then just a bunch of Survivor Series matches. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's what they're best at right now anyways, is the actual match quality. So just
There's really no feuds that they have to really emphasize.
Right.
Right? They're in
and
like,
then that does make the title match bigger if it's the only singles match on the show.
Yeah.
That'd be great.
They do have a bunch of tag teams, too, so they could even try to do a tag team Survivor match. I don't know if they have 10 teams, but they can do something.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. That could be very cool. All right, let's just throw some theories out before it's released. We know it's going to be Bray Wyatt, Strowman, or, you know, Ogre from Revenge of the Nerds, Rowan and Harper against Taker, probably Kane, maybe both Kanes. Only JD could wish that would happen. Imagine, like, fake Diesel, fake Kane.
It'd be great if it was just like... It'd be great if we're just like an episode of Saved by the Bell where Zach's on two dates at the same time where Kane just has to keep running back and forth, changing and tagging himself.
He pops off the apron, throws on a tie.
Yeah. Well, that was actually the comment I was going to make about the title match at Hell in a Cell. The place where I think the angle between Rollins and Kane went wrong is that it wasn't absurd enough.
Yeah.
That, you know, they were doing all the stuff with Corporate Kane and the Demon Kane, and they didn't actually, you know, like, bring Festus back and put him back in the mask as Kaner Faker.
Kaner Faker. May 9th.
Corporate Kane definitely should have overturned the decision later in the night.
Yes, exactly. I mean, just go all in on pretending they're two different people.
When Demon Kane comes out, his tie's sticking out from under the...
He starts screwing it up, and he comes out like with a suit and the mask, and then...
Why does he have cufflinks on?
That would be great. Who would be Taker's other two guys?
Well, I mean, one guy who makes sense right now is Ambrose, because he's still kind of tangentially feuding with the Wyatts, right?
Did you just say tangentially?
Tangentially, yes. It's a word.
It's exceptional.
Thank you. I'm a professional writer.
You are. Destination America, no one would know how to spell that. I'd like to hear Mangus. I almost called him Mangus. No one would care what I called him.
Mangus.
Mangus.
Mangus? Is that Mang's son?
What?
Is that Mang's kid?
Yeah, Mang's kid.
No, that's the child of Mang and Minkus.
They're the other two people that have the network in Samoa. Or Tonga. Yeah. Was that where I said what it was today? Tonga.
Tonga.
Yeah. I got a fourth guy. How about Sting?
Ooh.
Doesn't have to wrestle much. A couple minutes here, a couple minutes there. Nothing too ridiculous.
That'd be cool. If he's injured,
they could just have Kane in Sting gear.
Yeah.
You know?
They could bring Rick Bogner back to be fake Razor.
Rick Bogner.
Fake Razor. Well, there should be a team of fake wrestlers.
That'd be awesome, man.
Jordan Duncan in the goat mask. I think it'd be right.
You get Festus as the Kaner Faker. You get the Under Faker from 94.
Yes, Brian Lee.
Brian Lee.
Yeah.
Rick Bogner and then Kane could be all of them. Imagine Kane runs out of the ring, comes back up dressed as Isaac Yankum. Runs back out of the ring, comes back up dressed as Fake Diesel. Comes back.
I'm pretty sure we're just describing most indie shows.
Yeah, right.
The Demon Dentist.
Yeah. He's Fire Ant.
Hey, you know what? I would do it if they had a general manager mode, 2K16. Get all the Canes in there. In SmackDown versus Raw 07, they have the four faces of Foley, and I had a stable of them for a while.
That's pretty awesome. Stable of Foleys.
Yeah.
Jordan Duncan and the Canes. All right. So we'll get more into Survivor Series on our next show in 2 weeks.
I do think there's a possibility that it's not even, and it's like 4-on-2. I could see just the Brothers of Destruction taking on the Wyatts. I could even see them doing a thing where it's like those two versus the three non-Bray Wyatt members of the Bray Wyatt family.
Oh, okay.
A handicap match.
Yeah.
Man. If I feel TLC, we may get Taker Strowman.
It would be such a missed opportunity, though, that you could really do something special by taking a guy, just be taking a guy like Ambrose and, you know, take a guy like, I don't know, Cesaro and throw him in there with Taker and Kane and actually make them seem important. I mean,
Before Raw happened, I was really thinking that what would make the most sense would be the Brothers of Destruction and the two guys that are left from the Shield.
Right. That's what I was thinking.
I mean, now
too.
I don't know if they'd want to, you know, somehow get out of having the title match because that's, you know, a potential WrestleMania title match if you want. And that might not be a match you want to be doing right now. Although, again, we saw over the last year that if you don't strike while the iron's hot with Reigns, the fans who, you know, I might have a few issues with, you know, we're just going to go and turn on him when you do finally try to go with him. Mm. So what do I know?
Mm. Well, I hope they think outside the box and have some fun with it, because I think, I mean, if you're going to pump up 25 years of Taker this bad, you might as well have some fun instead of just running vignettes. You know, match vignette, sure. Match vignette, match vignette. Let's have some fun with it. Let's bring back Dean.
Well, I mean, if they carried him away at the end of Hell in a Cell.
He's the first Raw opponent.
Maybe that's how they do the vignettes, is Taker ominously, you know, transmits them to Warren Bray Wyatt of what he's awoken or something.
Well, actually they carried
Damian Demento.
Well, actually, they carried him away at Hell in a Cell.
Look what I did to Kamala.
They carried Kane away on Raw, so they ought to be the new Wyatts, right?
That would be ridiculous. Could you imagine Taker coming out?
That'd be great, man.
Taker coming out looking like Festus. I mean, no, I don't know about that.
Maybe Michelle McCool is Sister Abigail.
Wow, could you imagine? That would be pretty funny. So we'll get more into the show itself on our next in the next episode in 2 weeks, as matches are announced. So that is, of course, coming up on November 22nd. The Phillips Arena in Hot Atlanta, Georgia. And then, of course, we end the year with TLC, which there will be a Place to Be Nation contingency from the TD Garden in Boston. And then 2016, guys, I think we're out to Mania, the Royal Rumble. For the first time in 3 years, the Royal Rumble will not be in the Keystone State. Vince is going back to the warm locales, and the Rumble will be in Orlando.
Yeah.
And then Fastlane will be in, I believe it's in Cleveland.
Did you just choo-choo for Fastlane?
Fastlane. Choo-choo. Not choo-choo.
Choo-choo. Ice Train's going to ditch you.
I was thinking Iceman King Parsons. But
Ice Train King Parsons?
Ice Train King Parsons. And then, of course, WrestleMania is in Dallas. And then, obviously, SummerSlam for the next 2 years is back in the borough. So that's pretty awesome. So the rest of the shows we haven't – I don't think we – let me see. I don't think any other venues have been announced yet. Let me double-check here. Well, my internet's taking forever, so let me guide into the next thing. All right. What I wanted to talk about, guys, and kind of throw off for you is, oh my. Are you holy shit. Folks?
He just found out the Mets won the National League pennant.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, my God, the National League. No. Listen to this. Holy shit. Listen to this. I don't know if this is true or not, it is Wikipedia. But I just clicked on 2016 WWE Network events, okay?
Uh-oh.
Okay, Royal Rumble, Fastlane, WrestleMania, Extreme Rules, Payback, Money in the Bank, Bash at the Beach.
Whoa.
Seriously?
SummerSlam, Fall Brawl, Halloween Havoc, Survivor Series, TLC.
That definitely screams Wikipedia hacker to me.
Yeah, that's what I think someone's having fun there.
Yeah.
Okay.
Sorry, Scott.
Sorry,
Mets won the pennant. No, I'm just kidding. But anyway, you're probably right.
David Murphy's going to hit 4 home runs at Fall Brawl.
Yeah.
It's going to be great.
At the Fall Brawl.
If you ever hear Salvador Perez talk, he does kind of talk like Shockmaster. But anyway. All right, guys, I wanted to throw this at you because we always talk the network here on the main event. And we're not going to do the whole, like every of these other clowns who are like, I want this, I want this. I'm going to throw questions out to you guys using what we already have on the network. We're not going to be like, yeah, I want all the NWA Saturday nights. Of course we do, but who knows if that'll happen. I'm going to go around the horn, and I want you guys to give me what you think a good episode of this current show would be. All right? I used an example earlier. I loved it too much. I would have used it now, but I liked it too much because I love to see JD on a green screen with the two canes while Daniel Bryan's banging on a window. So give me, JD, a great episode of Table for Three.
Oh, gosh, man.
That has not already been used, obviously.
I mean, can I just go like even one that's probably not going to happen?
No, I don't care. It doesn't matter.
Okay. Doesn't matter. Steve Austin, The Rock, and Triple H.
That'd be pretty cool.
I think it'd be pretty cool.
Benjamin?
The ultimate table for three?
Mm-hmm. Or one that you think would be really cool. Pure opinions here.
Paul Heyman, Eric Bischoff, Vince McMahon.
Yeah. That wouldn't be in a cheap like restaurant set, though.
I just love to see Heyman needle Vince.
Yeah.
Because you know he would.
For that matter.
Or even if you know what, if Vince doesn't want to come on, have, you know, you could do a kind of fall of WCW one with Bischoff, Russo, and Ooh. It would be a good third name
you,
for
you
that.
You want a food fight?
Yeah,
Ed,
no.
Ed Ferrara?
Freaking interesting, yeah. No, I like... But you know what? I would love to see put the two of them in there with JBL and have JBL just try to play moderator and ask the tough questions. I would watch the hell out of that.
Glenny? Do you have a good table for three?
I would say Mick Foley, Terry Funk, and Paul Heyman.
I just had Foley and Funk in my head too, and I couldn't think of a third guy. But that's
Terry Funk might get fireballed at the end of it. Just like, yeah,
he might take a fork and stab it in Heyman's eye, probably.
Yeah, talk about maybe having a food fight.
Yeah,
I see Heyman and all the guys. He stiff for money, and then Heyman ducks out on the check.
Yeah, guys, I'll be right back.
Yeah,
we're commercial, right?
Heyman, Dreamer, and Shane Douglas, and then Heyman runs out on the check. Yeah. Although that would be a good one too.
How about Dan McGinn, Steve Corino,
Basil,
and Basil?
Yeah,
the hotel has gourmet dog food.
Yes,
for Dan.
What would be a really good one? Let me think.
I'd like to see Goldust on there too with somebody. Not
yeah,
necessarily
definitely.
Sure who.
That would be a good one. How about Dreamer? Raven? Taz.
Yeah.
I was thinking about Taz as the third for the ECW one instead of Paul Heyman. I think he might be good on it.
Yeah, I agree.
He's available now. So, in fact, he does a radio show on my client's. He's on the CBS Sports Radio podcast group or whatever the hell. But he's on the same company that Flair does his on.
So. Although, honestly, if you want to do an ECW one, I would be much more interested in hearing, say, Dreamer, Raven, and Shane Douglas.
No. Oh, I was thinking ECW as far as Bobby Lashley, Hardcore Holly,
and the zombie.
And a seance to summon test.
Yeah.
Zombie.
Oh.
Sorry. Too soon.
The guy who played the zombie died.
Too soon.
Too soon.
The guy who played the zombie died. So.
Did he really?
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
The guy who played the zombie died.
How ironic.
Okay.
You know, I'd also like to see Shane McMahon on there. If
oh, yeah.
Throwing up whoever we could have on.
How about Shane, Stephanie, and Triple H?
Yeah, Shane, Stephanie, and Vince.
How about...
I think that would
and
be...
Linda, and Linda's just like a... Linda's just a mannequin in the background.
Oh.
Just a wheelchair like she was before WrestleMania.
Catatonic Linda.
I think any of those would be a very closely guarded conversation.
Yeah.
I don't think it might not get quite so free.
Yeah, I don't want to see
some of the better episodes we've seen. Yeah.
If somebody legitimately just set up a hidden camera after a couple bottles in.
Yeah, yeah. It wouldn't exactly be like the Cesaro, Owens, Ambrose one where they're talking about CZW for half the show.
Maybe they call Stephanie Moxley too. Who knows?
No, Stephanie shows up in a t-shirt and they ask her if she has a button-down shirt.
That was easily the greatest table for three, I think, ever. The first thing Ambrose says when he walks in is, "Where are all the women?"
That one was great. The New Day one was great. A lot of them have been really
good.
I'm
sure Renee was about 10 feet away, too. Then he goes, "Doesn't asparagus make your pee burn?" That's something Jordan would say. So, Kane, doesn't this asparagus make your pee burn?
Oh, yeah, your table for three.
Burns.
Yeah, your table for three. Kane, Big Show, and Mark Henry.
Oh, JD would love that one.
That's got to be a big table.
No work rate while eating.
As Gorilla would say, they'd have to reinforce it.
Yeah.
I got a good one. How about table for two? Batista and Roman Reigns. Roman looks up. So.
Roger's drooling over that one.
I know, yeah. Roman looks up. So they fucking hate you too, huh? Yeah, pretty much. But I'm.
You know, I was actually thinking about that the other day, thinking about, you know, all the people turning on Roman Reigns. And I was just thinking, you know, they might actually accept Batista now.
Yeah. If Roman turns heel.
Not if he wears Shawn Michaels bicycle shorts again.
That's right. Or maybe grows eyebrows.
Eyebrows are overrated, Scott.
That is true. Eyebrows and mohawks.
Woof.
JD, what would be a good rivalries episode?
Has that show even started? I haven't seen Rivalries yet.
Yeah, there's a bunch of them.
Oh, is there?
Yeah,
there's. I thought that was one of the new ones.
No. There's been enough Rivalries. There's been.
There were a bunch that they put on before, and they just put a new one up for the first time in like several months, right?
Maybe that's up actually.
Maybe I was thinking
two new ones. There's
Like around the beginning of this year, they had a bunch of them. Right. Like they had Flair and Dusty and Matt Hardy and Edge.
I saw any of them.
They had Flair, Dusty.
They had Hogan and Piper, I think.
Hogan, Piper. They had a two-parter, Vince, Steve. Austin, not Willie.
See, those are some of the obvious ones.
Yeah, Vince versus Steve Willie would be too epic even for a two-parter.
Yeah, it's going to be like a nine-parter.
Vince McMahon's greatest opponent.
Yes.
Steve Willie.
Steve.
You want Chikara? what is that?
I would love to hear Vince McMahon announce Chikara's wrestlers. Like a Royal Rumble style.
Here is
Los Ice Creams!
Jarvis Cottonbelly!
Player Dose!
The Ants, or whatever. That was fucking stupid.
Fire Colony!
Silver It! Silver It has that connection with the crowd.
I'm trying to see where I could find the Rival Replaces TV. Wouldn't be there.
Well, I mean, Flair and Steamboat was the most recent one they put up, right?
Yes, Flair, Steamboat, and Cena Rock.
Yes.
Which I think was...
Yeah, Cena Rock's actually even more recent.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
Let me see. Here, I was looking for the list of full ones. I think I finally... I think it's a great show. Here we go. They've done...
When I look at the list, maybe I will have seen...
They've done Austin McMahon Parts 1 and 2, Flair, Dusty, Triple H, Shawn, Hogan, Piper, Edge, Christian versus the Hardys, and Matt Hardy, Edge. And then they just did recently Cena, Rock, and Flair, Steamboat. The Flair, Steamboat I watched. It was pretty awesome, but that's me.
Oh, wow. First episode aired October. Like, yeah. Last year. Okay.
Yep.
Yeah.
I'll tell you, we were just talking about these two guys. One I would love to see is Dreamer Raven.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
Yes, that'd be a good one.
Mm-hmm. It's one of the best rivalries of all time to me. It doesn't, not as many people know it because it was ECW, and I think WWE is basically on good terms with both of them. I don't know where they stand with Raven. I know there's a lawsuit like a decade ago or something. I think he's cool with them now, though. And you know, if they could get all four guys, they're never going to get Cornette, but if they could do Rock and Roll Express, Midnight Express, that would be crazy. I would love to see that too.
What do you think, JD? Any off the top of your head you think would be
pretty? I always try to think of ones that they don't always do. Because, you know, I understand why they do Vince and Stone Cold, but I feel like what else can they show us about something like that we haven't seen?
Just
so, like,
tied in a bow, probably.
Yeah. I mean, even maybe like a Hogan Sting type thing, something that doesn't get as much attention.
I don't think they're going to be doing any Hogan ones anytime soon.
Yeah, that's a good point.
I don't know. You know, he's slowly getting back on, and they're not editing things. I don't know.
They're not going to be recording new interviews with him.
No, not for a while.
Yeah.
Not for a while.
Ms. Mizdow, that might be a good one.
We get Mizdow back on TV at least.
Exactly.
Yeah, right?
How about Taz Sabu?
Yeah.
That was one that I was just thinking of. Yeah, definitely one that they could pull a ton of promos, a bunch of skits just to flesh it out.
It'd be kind of cool if they did like Lawler ECW. You know what I mean? Jerry Lawler.
Yeah.
Memphis. Man, they should do one with Vince in Memphis.
I'd love to see all that footage.
If they wanted to do a Sean Brett. I'm surprised they haven't done that. Well,
yeah, they haven't.
I guess that's the big DVD one. I guess they don't have to do that. Yeah.
That documentary from the DVD is on the network already. So.
Yeah, it is. It's under the Beyond the Ring. Yep, you're right.
If they want to go more recent, Sean Jericho would be a cool one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it would.
But you can span that over two chapters, 2003 and 2008.
Yeah.
The 2008 stuff is awesome.
Yeah.
Awesome.
It really is.
All right. How about this one? This one, they haven't done a new one in a while, and it kind of bums me out. But WrestleMania Rewind.
Hmm. Yeah,
which they haven't done. The last one they did was August of last year. Here's
that was
the one
a really good show.
Yeah, here's the ones they've done already.
I like that.
They did the main event of one.
Yep.
Hogan Andre, Austin Shawn at 14, Cena Show, and Cena JBL from 20 and 21 collectively, so a Cena special. Brett at 10, Triple H Jericho from 18, Shawn Jericho from 19. Then they did the special during Warrior Week of Hogan Warrior from 6. Rock Hogan from 18. Show Mayweather from 24. Savage DiBiase from 4. Savage Hogan from 5. Jericho, they did a Jericho special and they did both his matches. The Legends one from 25 and then when he fought Edge at 26. Shawn Taker at 25. Shawn Cena at 23. Kurt Eddie from 20. Punk's 2 Money in the Bank wins. Ray Kurt Orton from 22. The ladder match from the ladder tag from 16. Taker Triple H from 27. And Austin Rock from 15, which was very good. I thought that was one of my favorites, actually. What would be a good, Glenny, what would be a good new wrestling? Not new meaning like recent shows, but just a new one.
New as in they haven't made it yet.
Yeah.
This is going to sound like a joke answer, but it's not. I'm going to say the blindfold match.
Jake versus Martel.
Well, I mean, hey.
That's
a match that a ton of people hate because it doesn't have work rate or anything, but I love it just because it is pure psychology. It's pure fan interaction. Oh, and wow. The people are so into it that they give it that energy. And I really love it for that.
And that feud's like 10 months old.
Yeah, exactly. And
he sprayed the arrogance in his eye in like July.
Yeah, exactly. Just like a couple of the others, there are so many places that you can pull promos and vignettes and everything to really flesh out the story before launching into the match, which is, you know, the point of that anyway. Plus, they can get, I don't know what terms they're on with Martel. They haven't had him in any of their things, but they're on good terms with Jake, certainly. So they could get, you know, perspectives on it. And I'm sure that Jake, as a master of, you know, all that psychology and fan interaction, would really have something to say about it.
I agree. That's a good one.
Nice,
I like
deep
that, Glenn.
Cut, Glenn.
That's a great pick.
Yeah.
Benjamin?
Oh, great.
yeah. That's great, because mine's going to suck. No.
I listened to the whole list, but was Austin Hart from 13 on there?
No, that's a good one.
That to me is it's an obvious one, but
that's almost
a
gimme.
It's a gimme, but it's also the same way Glenn was talking about. There was so much to mine into talking to them about basically the fact that they went into the matches, you know, face heel and then flipped, and what it was like going through the match, and maybe you get Shamrock to talk about it. I think it could be. There's a lot, even though it's a match that's been talked about a lot. There's a lot more to say about it.
I think that would be a good candidate if they had continued doing those rivalry DVDs after Brett Shawn to get Brett and Austin at one place with an interviewer to really go into it and dive into it together, like how they approached it from their different perspectives and what it meant for each of them. I think that would be a really good way to get into that.
I actually could see that, but I also think this would be a good one to do documentary style because I would want to hear from other people. As far as, you know, I want to hear from Vince. I want to hear from Shamrock. I want to hear from, you know, potentially Sean, you know, he was supposed to originally be there. Maybe, you know, I think it's been long enough that they could really tell the full story of this match in a way that's never been done before.
JD.
You know, and again, we just said that we're probably not getting him anytime soon, but one that I think that they could go back the furthest with in terms of footage and telling the story is Hogan and Vince.
Hmm. Oh, you from 19? I love that match.
But they could go all the way through their history. Right. You know what I mean? Like, that could be really detailed. And
yeah, I love
that'd
be
a pretty cool one, just, you know, chronicling their whole history together, their business history, not just their feud, of course.
Right.
I think that would be a pretty cool one.
I agree.
Or Vince and Shane, and you could have Linda talk a lot.
or just have a camera on her staring straight ahead.
That'd be great. And then you get Trish Stratus's perspective.
Yes.
Yeah.
When he made me bark like
barking
a dog.
Barking like a dog, yeah.
I just had a good thought about the Austin Brett one because, you know, I wonder if the underlying urban myth is they kind of went into their match similar to when Savage and Steamboat went into their match. By the way, Savage Steamboat would be a pretty awesome one.
Yeah.
Too. In that, you know, the main event is the, you know, Taker Sid. And I wonder if they were like, let's steal the show since the main event's going to put us all to sleep and Sid may shit his pants, which didn't happen there, but it did happen at some point.
Well, it's good that someone on that show decided to have a good match.
Oh, that is true. because JBL proved said to Bischoff that it only got like 337,000 buys, and then of course 14 tripled because of Tyson.
As observed, of course, on our Place to Be Network Rewind.
That's correct.
Yes.
Plug.
You know what would be interesting? And I'm trying to think of one because you just mentioned Taker and Sid. Is to do one about like a big rivalry match at Mania where the match kind of didn't deliver. I think it'd be like an interesting way to approach it and kind of talk about like Triple H and Orton is the one that jumps in my brain.
Yeah. Oh, 25?
You know what I mean? Yeah.
Well, no DQ match where they didn't do anything.
Yeah. Right?
Yeah.
If you could get guys who would be willing to go into like a candid look into what happened and how it didn't really live up
That'd
to expectation.
Really
that could be interesting. Yeah.
Well, I'm curious because I don't think I watched this one, but did they approach that at all with Triple H and Jericho? Because I know with Triple H and Jericho, both have like since gone on the record saying that if they had it to do over again, they wouldn't have wanted to be the main event.
Yeah. They said it on the true story of WrestleMania DVD. They said that. Yeah. Rock Hogan should have been last.
Yeah.
They had some interview bit with Triple H on the Rivalry show, I believe. It's been a long time since I watched it, but I believe they had some sort of interview bit with Triple H who was saying, you know, oh, I was begging not to go on after that, which is one of those things that depending on when the interview is shot, you know, it really depends on what perspective you're going to get on it.
Sure.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
The official narrative is flipped.
You
got to
guess by
times.
His hair length in the interview.
Yeah.
Let me think. What's another good? What would be a good 24? The WWE 24 they do. What would be a good?
I'd say Kevin Owens. Follow him with some of his family stuff and going into a match.
Yeah. I like that too. Going into the match with Cena at Chamber, maybe?
Yeah.
Because that was like his first really big match.
I'd like to see a, no surprise here, but I'd like to see a Divas Revolution one. Just because I'd like to see something very different from Total Divas. Like Total Divas is, you know, very overproduced and very, you know, kitschy. This would be just them, like, down to business, stripped down, not literally.
Well, that's kind of the difference between doing the Eva Marie show and the Sasha Banks show.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. But yeah, I think they've definitely done a wonderful job, and it's a bummer that the Monday Night War. Well, I mean, Monday Night War had to have an end, obviously.
Yeah. They got a lot of episodes out of that. Probably more than they even needed, to be honest.
Yeah, there was probably what? Let me look. 17, probably.
I think a good 24 would be. Taker going into SummerSlam. When do you ever get to see behind the scenes Taker ever?
Yeah, exactly. If they started doing some of the more candid stuff with Undertaker, that would be a good place to start.
Yeah. Kind of because so many people, like, and myself included, I was one of them, were like, this match is going to suck. Undertaker's done, you know?
Yeah, yeah. And, not to mention, they're going to have to shift into some of the more candid stuff with Undertaker eventually, because eventually he's going to do a Hall of Fame speech, you know, and that would be a really extreme shift if he's still so kayfabed and then doing all the standard legend stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Yeah. They don't have a link to it on, Wikipedia. I want to see how many episodes there were.
What about doing a 24 with the Flair family, like before Charlotte's big Divas win? Like follow Rick and Charlotte.
An entire hour of Ric Flair waterworks.
Yeah, just weeping.
Yeah, weeping and drinking.
Yep.
Yeah, weeping.
Yeah, water, you know, coming in and going out.
Looking like Gary Oldman and Dracula.
Do you think he sleeps in a coffin these days?
Not alone.
I just like imagining Ric Flair crying over everything. Like they put pickles on his cheeseburger. He just starts weeping.
Seriously.
Who would be a good guy for JBL on his show? Ooh. I think JBL's interview guests have to be like legit. Somebody that he got back into a corner. Because he did. I don't know if you guys watched the Bischoff one.
The Bischoff
was very
one
good.
Was great. Going back to what I said earlier.
What's that?
Have they put up any new ones after the Bischoff one?
No, they teased that Ron Simmons is going to be on at some point.
Exactly. But, they showed, I think, clips as like a preview of what the series is going to be. And the only other one I remember was Ron Simmons, which ought to be a pretty fun episode of them just, you know, growing out, I guess.
I know I said it earlier, but I would love to see JBL get his hands on Russo. That's the ultimate to me.
Yeah, because JBL would chew the shit out of him.
Yeah, but Russo would fire back because he's delusional enough.
Yeah.
That is true.
That's another one that Shane would be good on, too, I think.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely.
Yes. I think Shane's back soon. In the next year, I think.
Really? Like, back?
I think we'll see him on camera sometime in the next year.
He's doing what, do you think?
Scott thinks he's going to team up with Taker and Kane.
That's right, yes. Here comes the money!
Get thrown through
several plate glass windows and 50 tables.
Oh, yeah, because
Steve Blackman when you need him.
Yeah, because he saw the Vampiro match at Ultima Lucha, and he said, oh, I need to do light tubes now.
Yes. All right. Before we go, gentlemen, our abbreviated edition of the main event, and you guys have all been awesome. You know what it's time for now? It's time for the unfiltered 2 minutes. Each of you gets 2 minutes to go off on anything you want pertaining to wrestling. And no, Glenn and Ben, you can't take your leftovers and give it to JD, so I have to listen to him for 4 minutes.
All right.
In fact, JD's going last.
I cede the remainder of my time to the gentleman from Michigan.
To the senator from Michigan.
There's no gentleman here, so.
Exactly. All right, Glenn, you go first, and your 2 minutes starts now.
Oh, goodness gracious. Goodness. Okay. I got a couple of things that I was brainstorming, and one is kind of a cantankerous Andy Rooney complainy thing, and the other is just something that I think is kind of interesting. First, for the complainy bit, I am over the constant push to turn everyone heel. I've never seen the appeal in turning Cena heel for years and years and years. But that seems to have mostly calmed down by now. Although maybe that's just the comment threads I read. Roman Reigns, I really think the problem there is the fans, although that's not really that fair a thing to complain about, I guess, because they've got to do business with him. And I've seen people talking about turning Ambrose heel when he is so over, even though sometimes, you know, he's not given the most juicy role to play, but everyone still loves him. And I guess you can say that's when it's most effective, but I really think that Reigns and Ambrose as like a badass babyface friendship, not like a tag team, but a friendship, I really think that's a good, right? So the constant drive to turn everyone heel because you're a little tired of them, I don't hold truck with that. The other thing that I've been thinking about that is just kind of interesting in terms of meta-narrative is like the role that Bray Wyatt plays in his advocacy. I was thinking about this during his promo on Raw. He said he'll grind every bit out of The Undertaker when The Undertaker, as a 78-year-old man, has basically been grinding every bit out of himself. WrestleMania 27, he won the match and couldn't stand up to leave. WrestleMania 30, he lost the match, got a massive concussion, just couldn't go at all. Going back to the Roman Reigns feud, all the... Okay, all right.
JD, you're giving him 90 seconds for yours? Awesome. Glenn, go ahead. No. I like that that point, though, Glenn. We're going to... Because the best part about that point is we'll probably talk more about that on the next show. So you'll definitely be back for that.
People think the heel turn is just the cure for all ailments sometimes.
Precisely.
Yeah.
And sometimes it is the right thing, but if everybody turned heel all the time, we'd be back to Vince Russo again, you know?
It's like at times people want every heel to be a face and every face to be a heel.
Yep. And then when they flip after a year, they all want it back the way it was.
Yeah, and then you just get people flipping nonsensically, and suddenly it kind of grinds out into a nasty shade of gray.
Right. I agree. Benjamin.
Yes.
You have 2 minutes, sir, and it begins now.
I swear I planned this before Glenn went, but I think it's time to turn Roman Reigns heel. and I'm serious. I agree.
Okay, bye, guys.
I've never seen the need to turn Cena heel. I think it would be insane to turn Ambrose heel, but I've been saying for months, and I stick by it, that I think Roman Reigns needs a heel turn. And I say that as a fan of Roman Reigns and someone who wants to see him succeed, not because I'm sick of him, not because I think he's untalented. I think he's very talented. I said it earlier in the show. I think he's putting on good matches. I think he has a charisma that's not being tapped into right now. And I think just like Rocky Maivia in 1996, 1997, that's because he's miscast. And I think Roman Reigns needs the chance to find himself. And I think it's very hard to find yourself when you're trying to be the company's top babyface in a world of PG, etc. I think Roman Reigns giving the chance to explore his character as a heel, he's going to get over that. He will eventually become a babyface again, but the crowd will be able to feel like they turned him babyface. He's their guy now. He's not just someone who's being shoved down their throat. He's someone who has proven himself as a face, as a heel. They get the booing out of their system. He gets to experiment with his character, show off some of that cockiness, show off some of that swagger, and really find himself. So the ultimate plan is make Roman Reigns a star. It doesn't matter if he's a heel or a babyface. Clearly, right now, as a babyface, he's just ramming against a wall, and I want to see him succeed, and I think a heel turn's the way to do that. And I'm done.
Superb.
That was your counterpoint. You had point, yeah. Counterpoint.
That was very good.
Hey.
That was very good.
And Ben, you know I'm in agreement with you there from our
you and I agreed on it earlier, but it's something I've been pushing for a while.
Okay.
Yeah.
JD, you have 2 minutes, and it begins...
It's never going to start.
Doesn't begin?
Now.
Okay. Stop recording.
So I had something in mind from the last main event episode, and I totally changed it about 4 or 5 minutes ago, believe it or not. And I want to talk to fans who are listening right now, because I think maybe my biggest grievance with pro wrestling is an area of the fan base. I was at Ring of Honor in September, and I was sitting directly in front of a man who decided he needed to yell, "Man up, man up, man up," every 3 seconds as Mark Briscoe was in the ring. Fast forward to Hell in a Cell, while Bray Wyatt and Roman Reigns laid on the mat, one guy in the crowd decided to start chanting, "This is awesome." I'm speaking now directly to anyone who may be listening that is part of the Full Sail Arena fan base. Fans are not the show. And it's to the point with some crowds where it actually detracts from my enjoyment of the show. I think being at a live event is such an awesome, awesome experience. But man, when we as fans try to make ourselves the experience rather than enhance the experience, I think we ruin it for a lot of people. And I think people need to just focus on enjoying the show rather than becoming part of the show. Just cheer for what you like, boo what you don't like. Not everything has to be awesome. Some stuff can just be okay. And that's pretty much kind of what I was thinking about. And I don't know why it popped in my brain 5 minutes ago, but man, I am so done with fans, with crowds that think they are bigger stars than anyone in the ring. We aren't, and we never will be. So let the stars be the stars, and let us be the fans. That's my thing.
All right, JD. Now, Glenny Bunn.
I was hoping to get a "This is awesome" chant, but I guess...
Just man up.
You fucked up.
All right, Glenny Bunn, I'm actually gonna do a little, because you had a great point going, but you did run out of time. However, Benjamin left 30 seconds on the table. So I'm going to do creative license because it is my show. And I'm going to give you his 30 seconds. So finish your – if you can do it in 30 seconds, finish your taker and Wyatt point.
Okay. It was actually a wider Wyatt point in which he speaks like a corrupted version of the fan narrative. He's saying he's going to grind every bit out of The Undertaker. The Undertaker is grinding every bit out of himself. Back in the Roman Reigns feud, all the anyone but you stuff – is, again, a corrupted version of what seemed to be the fan viewpoint when everyone turned on him. Back to the John Cena feud, Bray Wyatt's entire motivation in that feud was to desperately try to get John Cena to turn heel, which goes back to my other point in a way. And the Ryback feud, I don't know if I can make sense of in that praxis because Ryback sucks. How's that for time?
You had 2 seconds left. Ben, use it.
Ryback rules.
All right, that's great.
Ba-ba-ba-ba-dum-bum.
All right, guys, great show. And it's great to be back in the saddle. And we will be back in 2 weeks. And we'll see what cachet of guests we have as we continue on the road to Survivor Series, which again will be Sunday, November 22nd from the Phillips Arena in Hotlanta, Georgia. For Glenny Bunn, for Ben Morse, and for JD, I'm Scott. You've been in the main event, long hiatus. We thought Destination America was going to get rid of us, but that will never happen. And have a wonderful 2 weeks.
Do we have anything to say?
Who?
We want Sasha.